Welcome to Holding Center, a podcast created to help you own and hold center stage, not only on show day, but also in your life. I'm your host, Ashley Markham, owner of Myo Strength, and joined with me is my co-host, Ashley Spoker, owner of B&B Fit. Let's hold center.
What is going on?
What's up? Dude, what I'm that? So tired. I'm not tired. I'm stir crazy. That's the word, because it snowed and the snow was not like fluffy and powdery. It was like a fucking sheet, and then it iced and froze. So like we were housebound for like a full day. And then like, thankfully I bought that truck that has 4-wheel drive. So I was able to train and go to the gym, but then like everywhere was still icy. So I couldn't walk outside. Mm-hmm. And then like, we couldn't just go out and really do things. And today, like, it rained, so I still haven't been able to walk outside. And I like, if I have to step on my treadmill one more time, I'm gonna just blow it up with a bazooka.
Dude, that's literally me every winter in Ohio, and I fucking hate it. And this one's like, I was actually talking with Alex about this the other day. Like, I actually like think this winter's been like obviously the coldest for everyone in the world. But yeah, like it's just been like weird here, because like last year I feel like I was out walking a lot with my kid, like in the stroller, pushing him around, and I'm like, it's January 27th. I haven't walked outside once. So I'm like, ew, I don't like this. Cause like, and like, I have to take him with me, or like the only time I can walk is like either early in the morning at night when he's sleeping, and I can't just leave my child unattended in the house. I'm sure like that's CPS warranting a call, you
just
know?
Give him like a knife or something, just to, an intruder.
I put it in his fucking mouth. So yeah, like the Joker. Okay, love it, always smiling. But anyways, yeah, so I'm just like, and it's depressing when you can't get outside, dude. I hate it. And like you said, like you're just going stir crazy. It's annoying. My god. And it's like not even really the cold, like, yeah, it's been below zero and I'm like, okay, that's like too much for me. But like the icy sidewalks, the snow, I'm like, I can't, like I'll fall and break my arm or something, and I'm not in the mood for that, because a broken bone means you're really out of the fucking gym and everything for a very long time.
Yeah. I am thankful that I have these, like, I never know the proper name, because in backpacking, there's like 3 different levels of like things that you can put on your boots to not eat shit and fall. So you have like the baby tier, which are called yak tracks. You have the middle tier, which is what we have, that I can remember, never remember the name. And then you have the third tier, which is like the severe, like mountaineering, like you're like going up, not just like at an incline. And those are, I believe they're called ice micro spikes. Eric, what am I fucking up? Eric, what are the things for our shoes called? Micro spikes?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so we have what are called micro spikes, but I can never remember that name, as just demonstrated. So I call them yak tampons. Because you have yak tracks and then you have crampons. So I was like, yak tampons.
Mash them together. Did you see on my Instagram I posted the other day? I thought there was a tampon on the floor.
Yes, I saw that. It was mine.
Yeah.
I just blew it up there for you.
Oh,
that's
man.
Why it wasn't used.
Oh, I would have picked it up with my teeth. I would have known. I would have known.
Ugh, tragic, but bruh.
Bruh. Like,
the world's going crazy. World's going crazy.
It's going crazy. But speaking of going crazy, Ash and I just talked for like 40 fucking minutes before we even started recording, because we're chatty Cathys. But that's essentially what we're going to talk about today, is obviously client communication and success on both ends, because I feel like in today's society, like communication is very difficult for people. That it's either they don't know how to communicate effectively, they don't know what to communicate, or they just don't fucking communicate at all because it's awkward, because we're in a society where we run behind screens. I mean, that's our business, right?
Yeah.
And having that dialect can be like hard for people. Or and then on the very deep end of it, I think it's just a lot harder for our generation and even older generations to verbalize things, because it's always been told to kind of just, you know, pack it away in the bag and carry on, like, you know, don't say what's going on.
That's so crazy that you mentioned that, because Eric and I were watching Frozen because we were pre-gaming the snow, and he had made a comment about like gentle parenting, and I was like, what the fuck are you talking about? He's like, well, in the scene where they were telling Elsa to conceal how she felt, like that is reminiscent of kind of how we grew up as kids, or and especially the generation well before us, like maybe our grandparents, where it's like kids are seen, not heard. So it was like suppressing her emotions versus, you know, Anna is just kind of like, woo, because, you know, she didn't have anything that she should have been quote unquote ashamed of. And understanding how you communicate and then how you receive feedback does take a lot of self-awareness. And so it is important to kind of know like attachment styles and communication methods, because like if you're someone that's super anxious, like how I used to be, you tend to be an oversharer. And then on the receiving end as a coach, it's like sifting through that information and understanding like what is something that I need to coach my athlete, my client better, versus like honestly, what's something that a fucking therapist needs to know when it comes to like actually unpacking this shit? And it does kind of have a fine line. And then on the other end, the people that like don't share enough, right? And these are usually like sometimes the moms or the nurses or the women, especially usually the women for me, because I don't really coach a lot of guys, but the women for me that are like so high achieving, but they're not like anxious out loud, they're anxious up here, but because they don't have like quote unquote enough time for themselves to reset and refocus, it's like yes, no, okay. And I'm like, please talk to me.
Yeah. It's hard.
So
It's definitely hard. Like, and that's why I said that, because for a while there, I was like mostly like coaching people like within my own same age group. And now that I'm coaching, you know, people that are older than me, I've noticed that it's a lot of like, oh no, this is fine. I'm okay. I'm not overwhelmed. When they're like at the fucking breaking point, and I'm just like, hey, like, did you poop this week? Do we feel okay? Like, did anything out of the norm happen? Like, did you miss meals? Like, you know, it's just like, yes, no, like you said. And it's like, okay, like that is effective, answering yes and no questions to get to the point. But also, like, there are details that we need in order to do our job and do our job well. So I
Yep,
think, like,
100%.
also, too, though, there are details that we don't need. At all. And I think it can be difficult, especially in our space, and especially as a female. I don't know if you get this a lot, but like since I work closely with two other male coaches, I'm like, hey, like, do you have people that like say this stuff to you? And they're like, no. And I'm like, oh, okay. I get it. And I get like my facade and your facade too. Not facade, but like our images talk a lot about mental health and things like that. But yes, I care about it. Yes, it's important, but I'm not your therapist, right? And I can't provide you some insight, and I can't provide you a relatable story as to something maybe I went through. Like a big one is like my Hashimoto's girls, or people who go through health phases. Sure, I can tell that it was hard, and I can tell that it was difficult, and that's all fine because it is relative to your programming when it comes to like, is this stress so much to the point where it's impeding progress? We're having, you know, biofeedback getting skewed because of it. But I literally don't need to fucking know a play-by-play of you and your girlfriend and the gossip that happened at fucking tea time about whose boyfriend was fucking whose mom
My God.
last weekend. Just be like, hey, like I have some stress going on in my personal life. I'm trying to handle X, Y, and Z. Great. Love it. Like, I mean, there are some big things that like I do think should be said, such as like if there is like a death in the family, like I think that that is important, because not only is it like, yes, that's a big lot of stress, but also too, that does kind of affect your program in the way that's like, okay, like do you have to travel? Are you having family come into town? When are the funeral services? You may not be able to get into the gym this week, and that's okay. Versus like if it's just girlfriend drama, like you should still show up to the fucking gym. Like I don't think that there would be an issue as to why not, right? So like details do matter, and the context of those details fucking matter.
I'm glad you said the context, because you talked about like how does this relate to your programming and your coaching. Things that are like high alert as coaches when it comes to stress, especially, and usually that's like the detail dial that I kind of refer to with my own clients. It's like, listen, if you had a fight with your spouse over like your control with food, that's something that I probably should know to refer you out to therapy. Now, if you have a fight over finances or how you parent little Jimmy, time out. Like red X, I don't need to know that. I'm sorry you had that issue with your spouse. marriage is hard, but I can't go into that because it's outside my scope, right? So it's important to understand like how detailed you need to be as it pertains to how you are coached. And if you are really oversharing to the point where it's like your check-in is novels, or your check-in is, depending on how you check in with your coach, like maybe a really long-winded voice memo, it's like, it's really important that you start to develop that level of self-awareness needed, so that way your coach can effectively help you and make the decisions for you when it comes to your success within what you guys are doing, not weeding out all this ancillary stuff. Because like, I would feel really bad if I did miss something really important from a client that did impact our teamwork and our ability to work together, because I was filtering through like stuff that I don't need to be able to understand and don't need to digest, and quite frankly, don't want to absorb. It's not that I don't care that you're having a hard time, but there needs to be like clear boundaries on the coach-client relationship, just so that way you are, again, effectively doing your job well as a coach. But then also, like, if you are noticing things pop up, refer out. Like, refer out to someone that can actually help your client. That way they are getting that well-rounded, like, network of people for their long-term success. And then kind of after we boil down, like, the detail, what's needed, what's not, still having consistency within your coach-client communication. But not, again, having a daily check-in play-by-play of your life, like a soap opera. Like, definitely don't miss your check-ins, like your hardcore check-ins, however you do that. Mine's via email. Ash, I believe, has a software. You will meet at least on a weekly basis. Training videos, I don't really count those as check-ins, but communication touch points are appropriate. But again, like a play-by-play, like, oh, hey, by the way, like my cat threw up today. Dude, that's something I would like, I almost texted Ash, I have a zit on my ass that hurts. That's something I text my best friend. I'm right. Not going to email Austin. Hey, Austin, guess what's on my ass that hurts? A zit, right? It's just, it's one of those things where you need to have, again, that level of self-awareness to see like what you need to be talking about and when.
Mm-hmm. I think that that's huge too, because I mean, there's just like, sometimes, like you said, like if I were to say like, oh man, like I was at the gym today, I was hitting a PR and I fucking ripped ass. Like I would text that to you. Would I ever send that to fucking Mark? Absolutely not. Absolutely fucking not. Why? What would be the point of that? Like, what is the point of that sentence? I hit a PR. I don't even fucking say that because I don't know. Like, who cares? Like, you
that's
know what
something you could say for your check-in. Like, hey, by the way, my strength is going up. I PR'd hip thrust today. Like, that's relevant to me. But like, yeah, like that moment where you hit that PR, like Mark would be like, okay, cool, probably.
I don't even know why I would say that though. Like I can't think farther than the point of like not saying it.
Yeah.
So whatever Mark would say about it, like I can't even fathom like imagining what that would be, because that conversation would never happen. Like, you know, like it's just wild. And then something I want to touch on though, that you said is like, okay, so you have your weekly check-ins and then obviously like other communication points throughout the week.
Mm-hmm.
Our software, what we have is we have daily check-ins, and I think you have spreadsheets, correct or no?
So I have a spreadsheet I call their athlete programming, where they log like their body weight and maybe some biometrics like their resting heart rate or fasting blood glucose. And they have like information pertaining to their programming, but I don't have a place where it's like, if they want to make a comment on a Monday, like I don't have a space for that. I have more of the written feedback form on the actual email, where they can like share as much or as little as they feel like they need to. But a lot of that like information starts to become a lot more succinct and like rhythmic, because that's how the coaching client relationships work, where they start to mature and they start to understand like, okay, what does Ash need to know? And what can I just keep for myself to keep myself accountable? And like, again, part of that is the coaching relationship 100%, but it does start by like asking the right questions and receiving the right feedback from that client based on their context and their situation.
Yeah, I know. I totally agree. So yeah, like we have a daily check-in. It's kind of the similar thing, like talks about like bowel movements, biofeedback, like, you know, resting heart rate, if they're a competitor, they're fasted blood glucose, X, Y, and Z, whatever. Nonetheless, I do have a spot for comments and I do have a spot for wins. I do look at those periodically, maybe throughout the week, but definitely on their check-in day, I go through everything, right? When do you think it becomes pertinent to send a message and share that versus just keep it in your daily check-in?
I have a perfect example right now. I had a client that she's finishing up her growth phase. She, you know, has some things going on, but in her check-in today, she's like, I was having really bad urgent stools based on there are things I was like thinking about in her programming that I adjustments that I made last week. But she told me she was feeling kind of sick and run down. She told me she was having loose stools after eating, like 15, 20 minutes after eating. I made an adjustment with a supplement to help kind of balance her out because she was having a little bit of extra heightened stress. And so I made a little small adjustment. But then that adjustment caused essentially what I think was frequency in her bowels. So what I did this week is I pulled that supplement and I was like, give me a midweek check-in based on just your bowels only. I want to see if that supplement that I pulled was the reason behind your loose stools, or if it's something like you're getting sick, if it's a stress thing, or if it is like something else that I should consider, right? But it was my call as her coach to be like, hey, I need this from you so I can make sure that you're okay. And it was, again, it was something that I requested from her.
Yeah. And that's the thing too, is like us asking, like you said, like if there is something that comes back and we're like, hey, I need more information on this, then you can provide that mm-hmm. more information. I think that's good. But yeah, I think like you have to take into context like where you're at and what's important versus what's not, right? And it's not that we don't want to talk to you. It's just like a matter of like, when's the appropriate time? And also too, what is your purpose of this message? And I think that that's huge because yep. I think a lot of females, and I can say that because I am one, get into situations, whether it's with their coach, previous coach, people in general, for seeking validation. And I think that that is where boundaries start to get crossed, because they start seeking out, over messaging, you know, talking about X, Y, and Z, asking and wanting to receive validation from, I don't know if they view us as like an authoritative figure or whatever, a person of higher respect, I don't know, but they want that validation. They want that comfort from that person. Perfect example, a week ago or within the last week, I can't even fucking remember, someone got their hair done or something, sent me a picture, or no, they sent me training videos. That's what it was. Did the feedback, great, receptive. Then there was a message that was like, oh, what did you think of me dyeing my hair darker? Like, do you like the darker hair? I said, I didn't even notice. That's not what I was looking at in the video. One, I didn't notice. Two, do you like your hair? Because that's all that matters. It does not matter my opinion, nor should you ask, nor should you care what my opinion is. And that was the end of that conversation. And I didn't mean it in like a spiteful way, but essentially I cannot give you validation on your hair. I can give you validation on your lifts, on your health, on you getting closer to your goals. Yep. But unfortunately, that is not something that I'm going to, like you said, absorb or take in or even, you know, talk about. Because I personally don't think it's relative to your programming, to what you hired me to do. You know, you hired us as coaches. We are unfortunately not a part of like a sorority here to talk about, you know, all of those things. And I don't mean that in like a shitty way, but I think that some people do end up doing that when it comes to coaching. They just keep paying. They're the people who don't have results. They're the people who just want to talk all day. And I'm like, that's not what I do here. And I don't want to just take your money for that. That's not.
Yeah. You're essentially like paying for friendship. And like, that's a problem, right? Because like you can become friends with your coach after a really long time. Like that kind of inevitably happens unless if you have like that personality type that meshes really well. And like some of my longest term clients have become friends, but there still needs to be that transaction mindset where there are boundaries, because you don't want to take advantage of the client and not get them results that they're paying for, but you also don't want to develop like this codependency where the client doesn't really care about their goals anymore. They just want to be friends with you and feel like they have to pay for it. So it becomes a really bad conflict of interest. And it's like the clients that are the most clingy, like it's normally because they don't really have much else when it comes to like who they are. So that's why when I notice like maybe in their intake form where I ask about like how they spend their week and their weekends, and it's just work, meal prep, gym, cardio, HIIT, I'm like, where's your hobby? Do you spend time with friends? Like, that's a problem. Like, that is a problem not only to what we're doing, but that's going to be very short-sighted and short-lived for you because you're going to burn the fuck out if you aren't already. And so it's like understanding that like there's more life to be lived outside of the gym, outside of your kitchen. And when you realize that and embrace that, that's where like we talk about stress perception and stress management. That's the money maker right there. Like being able to go out and have coffee with a friend, to have lunch with a girlfriend, to like, you know, do something with your significant other that doesn't involve like binge watching The Walking Dead on Netflix every single evening. Like, don't miss out on things with your life. And again, also don't take this little spiel as, oh, I have to do all the things now. Because like, no, there is a pie chart of your life where you need to see like how much of your life and your hours are you dedicating to certain things, and which ones are fulfilling you and which ones are time wasters and which ones are giving you rest and recharge time to be successful. And I think that is really important in order to understand like your long-term success, especially when it comes to that client communication with your coach, to make sure, again, you have those healthy boundaries.
Oh, yeah, boundaries is everything, honestly. And like, I think it's very, very hard for our generation because we don't know what boundaries are, you know? And that's kind of like what we talked about at the beginning of this, is like that generational like communication, but like also too, like the boundaries. And I also think too, a lot of people think that they're the exception.
Mm-hmm.
That like, oh, you know, for me, perfect example, Thursdays is my off day. Do not fucking message me. Do not talk to me. I one time had a girl that literally messaged me, did not respond because it's my off day, on WhatsApp, texted my cell phone number, did not respond, messaged me on Instagram to tell me about a win that she had. I said, this win can wait.
Bruh, I would have been pissed. I would have been so pissed. I would have been pissed about text message. Like WhatsApp for me is like for business.
Yeah. It's no, like, that's exactly what it is. Yeah.
Yeah. But it's like, granted, it's, for me, it's the same phone number. I know you have two phones, but like for me, it's the same phone number. So if a client went out of their way to copy an iMessage to text me, that would have been like a sit down conversation. You do this again, we're done. Like, yeah. Like here's the deal. If it's 911, call 911. You know what I'm saying? Like not your coach. And it's not trying to be mean, but like, especially when your coach has in your, I don't know whether you want to call it a contract or their communication, wherever they tell you how they're going to service you and you breach that, shame on you. Like, that's not like, you're not like, so you're not above the rules. You know what I'm saying? Like, and if it is, God forbid, an emergency, you probably shouldn't be fucking contacting your health and fitness coach. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly. Exactly. And I think that that's where a lot of people just don't understand, because like, yeah. Hey, like we're here to help. That's our job, is to help you, guide you. And we do ask for certain points and certain details. But essentially, like also too, I think a lot of people don't realize that we have lives, or that we do things outside of this.
Cause you're just like the teacher where you think they live at the school.
Oh my God. Yeah. And you're like, oh yeah, all you do is just sleep on the desks and
write
on the
sleep, Miss Macy.
Yeah. Did you stay up all night writing on the chalkboard for us? Yeah. Like, no, I have my own fucking shit to do.
Oh my God.
Like, I do spend a lot of time at my desk, you know, talking to my clients, talking to Ash, talking to other coaches,
mm-hmm.
you know, reading studies, learning, education. Yes, I do this a lot. Making IG posts. Like, yes, there is a lot that goes into this. A lot of my time is here. But the minute I fucking walk out of my office and close the door, like, that is it. That is done. Like, I'm not thinking about you guys anymore, thinking about my clients. Like, and that's a boundary. And like, I don't expect you guys to, you know, answer. If I reach out to you and I'm just like, hey, like, you know, what's going on here? X, Y, and Z. I don't expect you to respond within 20 minutes. Like, you know, like I'm not a controlling ex-boyfriend and neither should you think of that as like yourself and me, right? Mm-hmm. Like, as far as like that boundary goes, like, yes, I am like a same day or 24 hour communication, because I do think that is important when we're trying to, you know, do things here that are effective. But, you know, as far as like not answering and then going to extra means to message your coach or wherever, you know, I mean, what would you like, think about like your boss, like, would you just keep emailing and show up at your boss's house? Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, that's pretty much what it is. And it just comes back to like drawing those clear boundaries. And then like, also too, taking that self reflection and being like, is this important? Like asking yourself, is this necessary? And if the answer is yes, then absolutely send it over. Or if you don't know, send it over and your coach can tell you like, hey, great, thanks for sharing that, but this is just not something that I need, not something that we're focusing on, not something that's relative to what we're doing right now.
Yeah.
You know, and it's, I think that the biggest thing is going to be like that context and being like, is this relevant to you? Does your coach need to know this? And we didn't make this podcast episode just to be like, hey, don't communicate with your coach because we don't care, we don't want to hear all these things, blah, blah, blah. We do, to a point, to a degree, because like we are here to help. Like I said, it's just a matter of like, are, you know, is it oversharing because you're anxious about it? And that's like one of those things too. I don't know if you've ever had this, but like when people like word vomit in their check-ins.
Oh yeah. And it's like, you know, their anxiety's through the roof, to the where you like, it like bleeds to you where you like need to like take a sip of water. Cause you're like,
yeah. And I'm just like, okay, so what I got out of this was you're stressed.
Yes.
You said I'm fucking stressed.
In full transparency, I want to touch on so many good things that you touched on, but like in full transparency, when I receive the novel emails, a part of my response once I've like eaten through their check-in is book a therapy appointment. It's not mm-hmm. because you're weak. It's not because you're a bitch or a pussy. It's because you're not having a good time processing this information and I cannot help you. But I am on your side. I am a part of your team. So let's invite someone else in to give you the best chance possible, right? It's not an attack. It's not that I think, like I said, that you're weak. It's you're going through a hard fucking time and you need help and I can't give you the help, right? Mm-hmm. So that's something that I definitely did have said plenty of times before. Other things that I have said, it's like if an athlete like tells me like, hey, they're sick midweek or something like that, like whether it's a digestive thing or maybe they're getting sick with like virus or whatever the fuck, and they're not feeling good. And they're like telling me about maybe their gym schedule or like, you know, I had one client that she texted me, that she's sick. And she's having a really hard time at the gym. And I was like, what? And then she sent me her training videos. She's like, yeah. Like, she's like, oh, I just have a cold and I feel like awful. And I was like, go home, client name. That's all I said. I didn't look at her videos. I was like, go home. You're sick.
Mm-hmm.
She's like, well, yeah, but in the past when I'm sick, like it takes me 3 weeks at least to recover. I was like, yeah, because you keep going to the fucking gym when you should be home resting. And she's like, oh, you're right. And guess who recovered within a week instead of 3 weeks, right? But it's something where it's like sickness that impairs your training, or you think that you're going to like be above the gym when you're like shitting out your, you're pissing out your ass. Like, dude, okay, let's like go back and like think about, is that going to be the best thing for my long-term progress? No, probably not. But I understand the emotional capacity and the perfectionistic tendencies of wanting to check your boxes. 3 weeks ago, I lost my head to that very same stressor, right? So that I think is a really good thing to email or at least communicate your coach, not for the validation, but for the team huddle, right? Mm-hmm. Like football, like, okay, you have the quarterback, they received their notes from the head coach or maybe like the assistant coach, you're at the team huddle. That's something I think is of value, because if I find out that your dumbass went to the gym when you're pissing out your ass and your check-ins, let's say on Thursday, and you know, were getting sick Sunday, bruh, congrats. We just lost 2 weeks of progress now. So it's like, there is also that communication urgency. And again, the context that I do think is important, but you also have to remind yourself within the boundary context, are you paying for the service? Like, what is your coach client contract say when it comes to communication of the coach? Some coaches are more or less available based on how they coach and how they structure things. And when it does come to the boundaries, it's not just on the client and athlete to respect the coach. It's on the coach to respect the coach too, right? Because how many times have, and I will fully own this, I will see a text message on Sunday, and Sundays are my days off to be with Eric and to, you know, regain my sanity, just to make sure I can keep going, you know. But if I, before, if I saw a client texting me on a Sunday, I want to respond. Like, oh, I want to make sure that I stay relevant. Oh, I want to make sure this athlete feels serviced. And when I gave, when I should have put up my wall for one day, like most people only work 5 days a week. We work six. Yeah. So it's like putting up that wall actually makes you a better coach. Why does it make you a better coach? Because you have time to reset, recharge, and refocus for the week. But if you never give yourself fucking peace, you will be very short-lived in this game. And you will not be able to help your athletes. And quite frankly, you're setting a really poor example too. Because how many times do we tell our clients, you need to put yourself first. You need to be strong for yourself so you can be strong for others. Well, as a coach, same fucking deal. So it is on both ends, which is why that communication is so important. So the coach can lead and the client can follow and the client can be successful. And that at the end of the day is why Ash and I coach. It is to help people genuinely inside it out. So when we ask you to do things or recommend things, whether it's a training break, therapy, you know, maybe this supplement, this adjustment, it's not for us to be like the best fucking coach in the world. It's for you to be the best person in your world. And that is so important to fucking understand, which boils down to, again, communication.
That's really what it comes down to. Mm-hmm. It's like clear, effective communication with boundaries.
Exactly. Exactly.
I mean,
snaps and claps.
Snaps and claps. I mean, honestly, yeah, because it's like you said, it's like a fine line, but it's also like necessary in what we do here, right? Because we do ask for like a lot of details because we want you guys to achieve your goals. We want you guys to feel healthy. We want you guys to feel good. And things can wait. That's like another thing too. It's like, yeah, some things are pertinent, but like on Ash's day off, like make it your day off. Like that's, I struggle with that for a while too. It's like my day off, but I'm still checking and looking and seeing. And it's like, that's not healthy for me, you know? So, we all
have that urgency, that mindset, you know what I'm saying? Where it's like, you want to stay relevant. You want to make sure you don't fall behind. But in reality, it's like, you will fall behind because you're so burnt out, which is why like one day off is like the bare minimum, you know what I'm saying? The bare minimum just for your family, for yourself. And like, again, you're, as a coach, you're a leader for your clients. And if you're the coach is like, do as I say, not as I do, or whatever the fuck that saying is, it's like, you're doing your clients a disservice, because then they're like, well, why the fuck should I listen to you when you're a stress hot mess express? You know what I'm saying? So like at the end of the day, it boils down to being like vulnerability and honest. And then also just keeping up with all the other things that we touched on.
Yeah. Honestly, like I like don't think I have much left to say. I think I've been communicating this whole time.
You communicated the fuck out of this podcast.
I just a yap, yap, yap in a way.
I can't wait until Eric clips of this for the post, because not only do I have a kick-ass eagle, but you are perfectly centered on the goat. So you look like you have horns this entire podcast, and it's baller. Dude, like right there is like over there. That was,
I wish like his like beard came around my head though. Like that,
dude, maybe you could get that next week. I do want to have one thing that I want to say that's just for shits and kicks before we do our gratefulness. So you know that post that I made about the body fat you gained and muscle, like, you know what I'm saying? It
went viral.
Dude, it went viral like fucking crabs. Get this. Accounts reached 95,000.
That's insane.
I have never had a post do this well. Over 2,000 likes, over 700 shares, 300 saves.
That's insane, dude.
I hate it. I gained a lot of followers out of it, which was cool, like almost 200. But talk about overwhelming and wanting to burn my phone. Dude, it's like every time I opened up the app, it was like...
Oh, I bet. I fucking bet, dude.
I told Eric, I was like, I never want to be famous. Like, I almost deleted the post.
Really?
Dude, I was like just getting so anxious, especially because like people were sharing on their stories. And like some people had shit to say that was mostly agreeing with me. And then some people like missed the point of the post. They're like, yeah, but you shouldn't get fucking fat either. And I was like, I didn't say get fat. I said gain a little bit, just a little bit. But I don't know. People just wanted to just say shit. But still, that was like really, it was crazy. So I'm an influencer now. I gained $1.50 from that post. So I'm on my way up to influencing people.
You got $1.50 from that post?
I did.
How is that even? I don't even know how that works, honestly.
I like Instagram told me because the post was doing so well that I should like make it open for bonuses or whatever. So like, okay, let's see like if I can actually like make money off of it just for shits and kicks. I have no idea how to redeem my Insta bucks, but yeah, I made $1.50.
You're like, I don't know how to redeem my Insta books. Anyway, that's fucking hilarious though.
Good Dude, isn't that so funny? I was like, that's unreal. But on a more serious note, what are you thankful for?
What am I thankful for? Today I'm actually thankful just for like having a warm and clean house. Isn't that one? That I
I
could
love
just
that.
yeah, that I can just sit here in my little warm house and do my work and be with my family and feel good. Oh, another thing I'm super thankful for, dude, my rest has been incredible.
You're what?
My rest and
I thought you
recovery.
said my breasts, and I was like, holla.
No, those things are trash right now after the whole breastfeeding phenomenon. It's
It's
quite
so funny.
It's quite sad. But anyways, yeah, like I woke up yesterday and I was like, ooh, I cannot wait to do legs on Tuesday. And I was like, oh, maybe I'm just like feeling extra juicy today. Woke up today and I was like, oh, I feel even better. I'm like, I really can't wait to fuck my shit up tomorrow. So yeah, I'm pumped. Like, I don't know. Really grateful for good rest, apparently.
Ooh, that's a good one. That's a good
Lay it
one.
on me. What do you got?
I'm grateful for sweet potatoes because I have not had a sweet potato in like months. And not that sweet potatoes or potatoes are bad, but like when you get to a certain point in your off season when food is so high, you don't want the volume from taters. And I like taters, but I'm not willing to like blow out my midsection for taters. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But since my food was slightly lowered, mostly fat, not carbs, but just low enough where I don't feel like I'm being punished anymore, I added in sweet potatoes and regular potatoes, and dude, so good. So good. Taters precious. So good.
Do you make yours every day in the air fryer?
So today, how I made my sweet potatoes is I cubed them, put in a little bit of water, and then nuked them in the microwave, and then smashed them. Because I do like my sweet taters mashable, but my regular, like, little creamed potatoes, I will microwave them slightly to start to break down the starch, and then I air fry them because then they kind of like puff up.
Interesting.
Yeah.
So you think microwave them first, though?
Yeah. So if you microwave like potatoes first and add a little bit of salt and then drain the water, you do get some of that breakdown from the starches. And so when you air fry them, they make them extra crispy. And they're actually done on the inside versus when I have just air fried taters, like just raw dog in it, like
Yeah.
they get burnt on the outside, but the inside is still almost raw. And it's like,
Yeah.
yeah. So nuke them in the microwave.
So how long you do that? Do you use the potato setting and, or is it just a couple minutes?
What's the potato setting?
I don't know. I have a button on my microwave that has a picture of a potato and I press it and it asks me if I have one or two potatoes. And I was like, I have one. So I press one and it cooks my potato.
I did not. It's like a popcorn setting, but for potatoes. That's awesome. Depending upon how much I have, it's like I'll either do a minute to maybe two, but you might need more depending upon the volume of sweet potatoes. Because again, you don't want to cook them so much where they're like, you like pierce it with a fork and it's like baby vomit. You know what I'm saying? You want to cook it just enough where it's like, it's breaking down some of the starch. So that way, when you put it in the air fryer, it gets done in the middle, but it's crispy on the outside. So you might want to play around with it.
So do you cut them up then? It's not like the whole potato in there. You cut it up.
Correct. I either do cubes or if I wanted to make like, it's mostly just cubes, like cubes or slices, circlets, whatever the fuck.
Circlets. So put it in the microwave and then in the air fryer. How long do you do the air fryer then?
That I play it by ear.
Yeah.
So normally it's like I'll get the when the potatoes are in the microwave, I'll preheat the air fryer, probably like 400 or 390, whatever just the standard air fryer settings is. And then depending upon, again, just the sheer volume of potatoes, like I might check it after 7 minutes or 10 minutes, but like you want to make sure you don't like gas blast them. You know what I'm saying? To where it's like they come out and they're just black. And it's like
Yeah.
there's like you like touch it with a fork and it goes. Like you don't want that.
But that's like how mine always are because of the fact that like I overcook them because the middle of them is like never fucking done.
Yeah, exactly.
That's annoying. Well, I'm glad you have the life hack on that, and I'm glad that you're grateful for them. Maybe I'll be grateful for them next week now that I know how to cook them.
Dude, just try it. Great. I want to give credit where credit is due. That was full on Eric, because
He's the man.
yeah, it was Eric's genius, because he does use oil when he cooks. And at the time when I learned that, I wasn't using oil, but I was always disappointed that my potatoes were like burnt and raw. And I was like, how the fuck does that happen? And he gave me some science education. So shout out to my husband, who's smarter than me.
We appreciate that. Eric, you're the best.
Yes, Eric is the goat. All right, guys, that's all we got. In the meantime, peace.
Adios.